Blog Talk Radio. It's May Pang, and I'm speaking to you live from New York, and it's, well, it's a nice day, but I'm just feeling a bit out there with what's going on in the world. What about you, Cynthia?
Well, here in Nashville, it's cloudy, it's a little bit gloomy, and you know, May, I'm very political, and I really have to, I've been battling on Facebook. The weight of the world right now is just so tremendously heavy, and I, for the life of me, cannot understand why a bunch of hoodlums that live in caves are holding the planet hostage. It's beyond me. But my biggest question is, they went and bombed all their targeted places. If they knew where they were all this time, why weren't we bombing them 6 months ago? That's my problem. Wow. You know, so it's complicated. I realize that. And the sad thing is that the world is just a dangerous place. And I just don't, I'm almost speechless. And, you know, for me to be speechless, yike a mighty.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, that's why I said it's just tough. And the one guy that who's the mastermind, they just found out they lost him in the midst of this in Belgium. So he's on the loose, and what am I going to say? But anyway, let's go on to something better. I did get my award last week.
You got your Ambassador of Rock Award. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank
Congratulations.
You.
Well deserved,
you know.
I'm sure it does. Well, I think that a lot of people don't realize that you've been in the music business since, you know, you almost since the first time you started whistling a tune. So
yeah,
it's a well deserved thing.
Not just hanging out with that other guy.
Yeah. I mean, you still work to try and make, you know, connect people up in the business, and my hat's off to you for that, because you have no dog in the hunt except for the fact that you love music. And kudos to you, Chicklet. Kudos.
I know, and you know, love being in my music publishing days, and that's one of my favorite places. And of course, that will bring us right up to the guests we have today.
I know.
And to me,
we are so excited, because when we mentioned he was going to come on the show, we started getting inundated with people.
Yes.
You know, especially songwriters, people who are really trying to make it in the business, and people who have been in the business. So there isn't, if you don't know the song Everlasting Love, then you've never ever listened to the radio, because it's been on the charts in every decade since it was written. He's had
that's one of my favorites.
I know. Pearl Jam, yeah. U2. He's sung backup for Elvis Presley, Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson, Leon Russell, George Jones, Jimmy Buffett, Kenny Rogers, Roy Orbison. It goes on and on and on. And he's written a book, too, about his shenanigans. And we would like to welcome to the show music icon Buzz Kaysen. Buzz, welcome.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, May and Cynthia. Great to be with you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, your songs, and obviously, you know, the song Anna was always, you know, one of my favorites. The way, you know, which of course Arthur Alexander had done it, but you know, John loved it so much, and I love his. You know, I always used to love that version as well. But Everlasting Love, forget it. I mean, that's.
Oh, Soldier of Love, you mean?
I'm sorry,
yeah.
Anna. Soldier of Love.
Yeah,
in my
Soldier
head,
of Love.
I'm good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the song that the Beatles did, that John sang, and
yeah.
We were just, of course, thrilled to death when we heard it.
I mean, it brought us into how much they love. And, you know, it's because, like I said, it's also the Arthur Alexander. That's why I was saying that. Because it comes from that time period that the songs that you wrote that they love, it was the influence from, you know, the writing from here. you know, how much they love our American music.
Yeah.
That was always a big thing. And so their interpretation. And that brought, and it actually, you know, brought the American songwriters to the forefront, which, you know, that was the whole thing.
Yes, there was a handful of us that were fortunate enough to have Beatles cuts because of the, you know, it's mainly the fact that they had to do, you know, four-hour shows at night playing the clubs, and they didn't have enough original songs to fill up their shows. As most of your fans know that story, but a few of us kind of slid through the cracks there, and I think because they liked and loved Arthur Alexander's music so much, then
yeah.
Soldier of Love was about the second, I think the second record single that he had out. It was back, the B-side was Where Have You Been, which was a Barry Mann song. But and it got it just kind of tickled the charts with Arthur. It didn't do much, but they did a great version. They put harmonies to the
right.
Lay Down Your Arms part, and it was really, really exciting when the arrangement they did on the song.
Yeah, because if you think about it, you know, when you listen to their harmonies, they're the closest. Because, of course, they're modeled after, you know, the Everly brothers. But they're as close as you can get, but not being brothers, real brothers, blood brothers and
right.
Singing, you know. And it was great. That's why. Your song's so
now,
fabulous.
Now, Buzz, and it leads me to this question for you, Buzz. When you write a song and you're like, it's almost like you're giving birth to this baby song, have you ever... I'm going to put you on the spot, Buzz. Have you ever had a song that somebody took and you were like, oh, my Lord, they destroyed my song?
Oh, well, oddly enough, I had a song in a country chart by Tommy Overstreet, who we unfortunately lost just back on November 2nd. Tommy was a fine country singer, had several hits, and I was disappointed when I heard the record. I don't know why. I just thought, gosh, I'm not sure about this. But then they played it again. I said, well, that'll probably work. It went to be number one, you know. I went over to the session when they played the song called Man, Don't Go Running. And oddly enough, the producer, Richie Marino, called me. He said, I like your song, but I want to talk. And I had it. The title was And Don't Come Running to Me. And Don't Come Running to Me When He Breaks Your Heart and all that kind of stuff. He said, I want it, and don't go running, you know, change the title around, you know. So anyway, that's kind of an example of that, but it's very rare. I'm happy whenever anybody records something, no matter how bad it may turn out, you know, you're always happy to have a cover of your songs, you know.
Absolutely, that's a definite as a, from a songwriter
yeah.
and a publisher's point of view. Absolutely, get
right.
a cut. But I've been in that position where I've thought I actually had a great demo of a song by two original writers, and a major artist cut it, and I have to say I like my demo better.
I was the top. Top the demo. Sometimes the demo is so good. Sometimes that the artists they can't capture the magic of the demo. But
right.
most of the time it goes the other way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, especially you know. Here in Nashville, I dared to say one time, Buzz, because I'm not a music girl. I know you're going to be shocked when I say this, because all musicians are, but I don't really like music that much. I mean, I like music, but I don't have a CD collection, you know. He's going to hang up on us now, may watch. But,
That's enough.
I said, on the street in Nashville, live on a Saturday night, you can hear musicians out on the sidewalk who are as good as some of the people who are recording right now. And Nashville's just so full of music, but you actually had the audacity to bring a rock and roll band to country music capital of the world way back when. That was when you were a pipsqueak. How did that go?
Well, there was a disc jockey here, Noel Ball, who had he was a DJ and had a great announcing voice. And, he had a show in the afternoon. It was kind of like our local Dick Clark, he was, you know, and the kids danced to it, and it was on Saturday afternoon on the ABC affiliate, WSIX here, because that was before they had all the ABC sports. I mean, you're talking about 55, 56. And in 1956, I went out there with some of my schoolmates just to lip sync a record. And we actually did Bing Crosby's White Christmas. And I fell in love with the being around the television and all that, because I wanted to be, I was a commercial, I was an artist. I had an art scholarship to Peabody College here, and I was supposed to go to school, but then when rock and roll came along, I took off on the road in 57. But in 56, I met some guys playing live music out there, Richard Williams and his trio, and Richard Williams, Chester Power, Billy Smith, and Johnny McCrary. And I kept pestering them. I said, hey, let me sing. I said, I'm never going to get anywhere lip syncing these records. You know, I said, let me sing a live one. And so I asked Richard, and he said, yeah, what do you know? I said, Blue Suede Shoes and C. and so we did it, really went over. It was up in my dad's hometown up in Lebanon, Tennessee, Wilson County. And all my aunts and my uncles were there and everything. So it was a big deal. That was the first meeting of the Casuals on stage. And I said, guys, we need to, you know, they liked me and they liked the idea of me coming into the band. So I said, we need to name it something. So I just came up off the top of my head, let's be the Casuals, you know. So we started playing, because of the television show and because of Noel Ball, we started playing shows all around the countryside, and he produced a record also. We snuck into the studio, into the radio studio at WSX, and cut our first record, My Love Song for You. And we put it on a little label called New Sound. In fact, I designed the label for I used my art abilities to put this real scratchy little thing together on New Sound. And then Noel was very good friends with Randy Wood of Dot Records, and Randy put it out for us on a single. Randy picked it up, and we wound up doing two singles for Dot. They were regional hits. They really weren't national hits. But we were getting notoriety, and we started backing up some people for rock and roll shows like Jerry Lee Lewis. And then Jerry's manager, Oscar Davis, told Dub Albritton, Brenda Lee's manager, about it. And we went up to Rockford, Illinois, did a show with her, sight unseen, just rehearsed in the afternoon and played that night. And the Casuals band was with her for, I guess, 25 years after that. I was in the band about 5 years. And then, Richard Williams and the guys carried on for years. So that's what got us started.
My God.
The whole thing.
And it's been a good ride too.
No kidding. I read somewhere, Buzz, that you are one of the few musicians who actually worked with every single recording artist from Sun Records. Is that true?
I believe we did. We met Elvis in 57 when we were promoting a record down at WHBQ with Dewey Phillips, first DJ to ever play on Elvis record. And we met him, and then later on we jammed with him in California, his house out there in Bel Air. But then after he passed, I sang background on some of his records. I never worked with him alive, but we sang on backgrounds, Berg and White, myself, some of the guys we sang on some tracks that didn't have voices on them. And Carl Perkins was a good buddy. He was a good friend. We opened shows for him. And Roy Orbison, we played the Detroit, played the Michigan State Fair with him. And he recorded at my studio. And Jerry Lee, we were with quite a few shows. We opened for Jerry Lee. They would say, Jerry Lee would be riding along the road, and he'd say, hey, boys, let's stop and see there's a good horror movie playing over there. And he'd say, Jerry, we got a show tonight. And he'd say, and all those boys or Casuals, they'll hold the crowd till we get there. So we kind of had a tough job, but that kind of forced us into really kind of trying to put on a pretty wild rock and roll show. We'd jump all over the place, and I would ride on the bass player's shoulders, and we'd do a crazy thing. He'd flip me off
on the floor.
We did all kind of stuff. But we worked also with Carl Mann, who had I think Carl's own son, Billy Lee Riley, worked for Billy Lee. And Bobby Lee Trimble was another crazy one, but he, I don't believe he was own son. But all the guys that had three names.
Well,
all the Billy Bobs and everything. So,
and the,
but we, yeah, we, I don't think any other artist worked as close, you know, up in the real golden era of rock as we did. I know there's guys that probably did, but we were fortunate to be able to play with those guys.
And you've worked with some amazing people, because I just saw Jerry Lee in London doing his final London,
show. Yeah. Was that
I
at
was
Royal?
Just there.
Was it at Royal Albert Hall or was it at?
No, he did it at the London Palladium.
Oh yes, I guess it was good.
It was fabulous because me and I saw Ringo and Robert Plant, and we were all on stage singing Happy Birthday to him, you know, because it's 80th birthday last final tour. Oh, it was fabulous. I mean, you know, he gets up there and he's walking slow. He gets to the piano. All of a sudden, it was like he's wailing. It was amazing to see. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
And he had James Burton there and you know, in his old band. It was great. It was just
God, that's great. Yeah. I hope they televised. I hope that somebody taped that.
I taped a couple of little things, but I think it was being taped because it was wonderful. You know, I'm just very lucky that I got a chance to see some of these shows. And I mean, Jerry Lee goes around and there's a story, and it actually happened. We were out in Los Angeles, and so John Lennon and I went to see him at the Roxy, and after the show went backstage, and John just dropped his knees and kissed his boots and sent the king.
Great story. That's
yeah,
great.
And it was, and that story's been going around, and you know, but I remember it so well. I mean, it was outrageous. It really was. So, you know, I'm a fortunate girl to have witnessed a lot of the and to get to hear all this good music, including yours. And so, I'm a big because I worked in music publishing. I was always into who the songwriter of some of these great songs that went out to be sung by other people.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, and I worked with Richard Lee, since he wrote Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue, and I heard his demo, and then hearing, you know, the song, how it became at the end, it was really, you know, it was just that, the song. Crystal Gayle just took it exactly the way, you know, he wrote it and how he sang it and his inflection. So it was really each made each other on the song. So it was great. So.
Oh yeah, Richard is a good friend, and we played several songwriter things together. We played out in Colorado for New Mexico for Larry Joe Taylor, and he does the songwriter things and concerts around. And what a wonderful singer he is.
Well, yeah. Absolutely. So when you see him, tell him May says hello. I haven't seen him in years, and he was great when he used to come up and, come up to the office in New York, and he goes, oh, I've been told I have to keep my wallet close by and stuck in here. Laughing. He used to make me laugh. He was great.
All
right, so Buzz, I'm going to go all warm and fuzzy on you here, okay, which is so not me. But was there an inspiration, a lady inspiration for Everlasting Love?
Well, you know, it's a funny story. Matt Gaydon's a co-writer on that, great guitarist, singer, songwriter, artist.
Right.
We did an album on him, Hymn to the Seeker, and we did a Skyboat album on him, actually for ABC and Dunhill. But he was over at my house, and we had Robert Knight was recording the next day. We were producing Robert for Bobby Russell, and I had formed a label, Rising Suns, with Fred Foster of Monument Records, and he had given us a budget to record Robert, and we needed one more song. We had a song we thought was ready to kill or lead A side, but you know, in those days you recorded four songs on a three-hour session so you could have two singles. So we thought this song was a B-side. We started on it, and he had two melodies. He had had, actually, since childhood, he had these little melodies running through his head. And I said, could you put them together into one song? Because, you know, there's two distinct hook pieces to Everlasting Love, it doesn't just modulate up a step, it modulates up a fourth or something. It goes on up to another key. And I said, and he said, sure, I can put them together, but the wife's got dinner waiting, and I said, I've got to go. I said, well, I know the priorities here, man, you know. And so I said, okay. So we put it down on a piece of tape, just the melody, you know, how he hooked them together. And I said, I'll put some kind of lyric to it, you know. And when it got to the chorus, I don't know, with my little Southern Baptist ways, in the Bible it says, Jeremiah, it says, yea, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And I just always loved that phrase, you know. So, we put that in the chorus, but we didn't ever write a second verse. So we just, on the session, we just oohed it. So, oddly enough, when Rachel Sweet and Rick Smith recorded it, they actually wrote a second verse, which we had to approve, you know. And but it was when we did it on the session, it was on the very end of the session. Up at Grandpa the studio, which had previously been Sam Phillips' studio downtown Nashville on 7th Avenue, and we put it on the end of the session. Everybody was tired, and I remember Norbert Putnam was on bass and Putnam, and I went over and said, Norbert, I've got a little bass line, and I'd come up with it. He said, well, give me anything. He said, I'm burnt out, you know. So but everybody was tired, but it just happened, you know. The song just happened. And another little side note, Brent Mayer was a wonderful producer who discovered The Judge later on. We were together for years, and that was his first master session. And we always talk about that first session he cut as an engineer was a hit. But that's the way it got started.
Wow.
That's the way the song. I mean, there wasn't any romantic inspiration, you know, for the lyrics.
Okay,
well,
that totally worked for my lack of warm and fuzzy buzz. It works for me.
Yeah.
So,
Well,
hey,
if
people want to get a hold of you and look at your stuff, or where can they go?
Yeah, it's buzzcason.com, BUZZCASON.
Great.
And Plowboy Records is the label that I'm on. Plowboyrecords.com has some stuff. And we have out a new record called Record Machine, and it talks about the old vinyl record days. It's kind of a neat song I wrote with my son Parker. But and they can email me at buzz@buzzcason.com.
Are you performing anywhere in the Nashville area?
Well, we're kind of done for the year. We recently just did Puckett's. We're kind of off for the year. We'll be doing some things in the spring. We just kind of slow down this time of the year, but we'll be back.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe
we had a real busy year, so we're kind of kicking back right now.
I'm glad, because it's been, you're right. Now it's going towards Christmas. We're already at 2:16, and it's like, wow.
Right, yeah.
And so, but it's great.
It's just
great.
Incredible, Buzz, that, I mean, you're still going strong. Over six decades of still churning out music, and, you know, I'm a writer, but not a songwriter, and there is a difference.
Uh-huh.
Songwriters are unique unto their own, and so I'm not a threat to you, in case you're worried.
Oh, gosh, well, I'm not that competitive anymore, but I just kind of do my thing. But, yeah, writing, I know it took me about 3 years to write my book, and, by the way, they can get the book on Amazon, Living the Rock and Roll Dream.
Great.
And it's got about 50 photos with all these different artists we're talking about.
Excellent.
We've got a picture. Got a couple of pictures with Jerry Lee in there, you know. And
oh, good.
And good shots. I regret I never got a shot with any of the Beatles, man. I came very close to meeting the guys when we were in England in 64. Glenn D. Harden went out and partied with the guys. And I think everybody was there but Paul. I think three of the four guys were there. And he came back in, and we had been on the road, and we were tired, and we were in a London hotel, and we were all crashed in a big old suite. And he said, "You bunch of losers, you slept, and I've been with the Beatles." He came in about 5 months, and he said, he walked in, and John stood up and said, "Glenn D. Harden." And he said it blew his mind that John knew who he was, you know. And so, I missed my shot there, you know, partying with the guys. But
that is
we,
funny.
Sure,
we may still get, we
may
maybe
sure
still get one,
us.
Maybe Paul. Maybe we still get Paul somewhere along the way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, find Paul. I'd like to meet him. Yeah. Tell Paul next time you see him.
I will.
I bet Buzz wants to meet him. He'd say, "Buzz who?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll
listen,
do my
Buzz,
best.
You were a delight to have. We certainly are going to continue to keep our eye on you. It's just so great to have you. And best of luck. And for folks who want to get your book, they can go to Amazon, Everlasting Love, Living the Rock and Roll Dream with Buzz Kaysen. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh,
great.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun. I appreciate it, guys. And you guys have a great holiday season, great Christmas, great New Year's. And we'll talk again soon, hopefully.
Absolutely.
That's super. Great.
Thank you. Take care,
Buzz.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Such a sweetheart.
Yeah, May, once again, these guys who have these pedigrees, and they're always the most humble people.
I know. It's amazing. I mean, he's written some amazing songs, and it was just that, you know, when you hear that Soldier of Love. I mean, and you know, those were songs that didn't have, you know, it's that feel. It was always that type of feel of the song. And when I remember hearing Everlasting Love by Robert Knight, the first time I heard it, I went, "Oh my God, I like this song." And of course, everybody in the world has done that song now.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's charted in every decade since it was written.
It's a great song. And he's one of the reasons why.
And it's been in a gazillion movies. And before we went on the air, we talked about how my little catering job, the woman I worked for, her father and he grew up together. He and George Rawls were childhood friends. So it really is a small world here in Nashville. When he was talking about Lebanon, Tennessee, where they first appeared, is like 18 miles from me. So
when you
my
hear
stomping
these stories,
grounds.
Yeah, you know, when you hear these stories, like I said, you know, you're talking about Jerry Lee Lewis, and then I'm saying,
yep.
I've been very fortunate. I admit to that, you know, that's why some music is my life, and it has saved me over the years, and maybe not for you, but for me it has, but it's been great. I mean, you listen to them, and it just comes to them, the songwriters.
Well, I have to say, since doing the show with you, my appreciation for music has evolved in that I'm finding out the stories behind it. I mean, like, look at these guys. They all hung out together all these years ago. They were all, you know, bumping elbows. Never knew how close they were all to megastardom. And it just, that's what boggles the mind, you know, and I think that in and of itself is just amazing. So
absolutely.
Well, let me tell you.
I wanted to wish a happy belated birthday. Well, it's two birthdays. One to my best friend, Pamela, down in Florida. It's her birthday.
Happy birthday, Pamela.
Yeah, Pamela. And of course, to my other friend, Miss Whoopi Goldberg. And I missed the party because it was held out in Las Vegas and I couldn't go. I had many other things to do, so I couldn't go. But,
that would have been fun. Maybe next
time. That
would
have been fun. We could have gone. We could have gone.
I know. Hey, our ship will come in, and then we'll go. That's it. That's how we're sending it out to the universe. There it goes.
For the next one. Absolutely. So anyway, time to say goodbye for this week, and we'll be talking.
Yep.
See you
and
around.
And from us to the people of France, vive la France,
we are
French.
Yeah.
Take care, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
Yes. Bye.